Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. God, the Science, the Evidence by Michel-Yves Spolor presents an argument that modern scientific discoveries can be read as consistent with the existence of a creator. Framed for readers interested in the intersection of cosmology, physics, biology, and philosophy, the book surveys widely discussed lines of evidence, such as the apparent beginning of the universe, the precision of physical constants, and the informational complexity found in living systems. Rather than treating science and faith as opposing camps, it positions scientific findings as prompts for deeper metaphysical questions about why there is something rather than nothing and why the universe appears intelligible. The work also engages with common skeptical objections, including the idea that future theories will remove the need for God, or that multiverse proposals can dissolve fine-tuning. Overall, it aims to equip readers with a structured case that scientific evidence can support, or at least strongly point toward, theism, while acknowledging that science alone does not deliver theological certainty. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a universe with a beginning and the implications of cosmology. A central theme is the claim that contemporary cosmology points to a universe that is not eternal. The mainstream picture associated with the Big Bang describes an expanding universe with a hot, dense early state, and many popular discussions connect this to the philosophical question of an ultimate origin. The book uses this landscape to argue that a beginning strengthens the intuition that the universe is contingent and in need of an explanation beyond itself. It likely contrasts older steady-state ideas with evidence that supports cosmic expansion and an evolving universe, and it may highlight how discussions of cosmic origins naturally cross from physics into metaphysics. The explanatory burden then becomes, if space, time, and matter have an origin, what can account for that origin? Readers are invited to consider whether naturalistic accounts can be fully self-contained, or whether they inevitably presuppose laws, boundary conditions, or entities that themselves call for explanation. The thrust is not that cosmology proves God, but that modern origin narratives make a creator hypothesis philosophically plausible and, for some, more coherent than an endless regress of physical explanations. Secondly, fine-tuning and the surprising precision of the laws of nature. Another major topic is fine-tuning, the observation that many features of the universe appear delicately set in ways that allow for stable matter, chemistry, and ultimately life. Discussions in this area commonly point to the strengths of fundamental forces, the masses of particles, and the large-scale properties of the cosmos that enable stars and heavy elements to form. The book frames this as evidence that the universe is not a random, indifferent arena, but one whose deep structure seems unusually compatible with complexity. It likely explores how small changes to key parameters are often said to yield a sterile universe, and then asks what the best explanation is for such parameter sensitivity. Alongside design, it examines alternative proposals such as the multiverse, which attempts to dilute improbability by positing vast numbers of universes with varying constants. The book argues that multiverse scenarios do not automatically dissolve the question, because they can shift the need for explanation to the mechanism that generates many worlds and to the meta laws that govern it. The overall aim is to show that fine-tuning is a rational pointer toward intentionality rather than mere luck. Thirdly, information in biology and the origin of complex living systems. The book also considers biology, focusing on the role of information in living organisms. Public debates in this area often highlight that DNA carries instructions for building proteins and regulating development, and that biological systems exhibit layers of coordinated, interdependent machinery. The argument presented is that information is a distinctive kind of reality, not easily reduced to chemistry alone, and that its presence in the cell raises questions about source and causation. A common line of reasoning is that the origin of novel, functionally specified information is difficult to explain through undirected processes alone, especially when considering the early steps from non-living chemistry to the first self-replicating systems. The book likely distinguishes between adaptation within existing systems and the origin of the systems themselves, emphasizing that natural selection requires replication and heritable variation to operate, which presupposes an informational architecture. Without claiming to settle technical questions in origin of life research, it uses the informational character of biology to argue that a mind-like cause is at least a serious explanatory candidate. The intended takeaway is that life looks less like an accident and more like a planned outcome. Fourthly, limits of materialism and why scientific explanation is not the whole story. Beyond particular scientific findings, the book addresses the philosophical boundaries of scientific method. It argues that science excels at describing regularities and building models, but it does not automatically answer questions about ultimate causes, meaning, or why laws exist in the first place. This opens a critique of strict materialism, the view that reality is exhausted by matter and physical interactions. The book likely points to phenomena often discussed in philosophy of mind and epistemology, such as consciousness, rational inference, and the reliability of human reasoning as areas where materialist accounts face explanatory pressure. It also may address why mathematics is so effective in describing nature, treating intelligibility and order as clues rather than brute facts. The broader move is to show that theism is not competing with science at the level of laboratory mechanisms, but operating as a higher-level explanation for why a lawful, comprehensible universe exists at all. By separating methodological naturalism, a practical rule in science, from metaphysical naturalism, a worldview claim, the book aims to show that many common objections to God rely on category mistakes. It encourages readers to see scientific success as compatible with, and possibly suggestive of, an underlying rational source. Lastly, engaging objections, chance, multiverse claims, and the God of the Gaps concern, a key component is engaging common skeptical responses. One is that appealing to God is merely a placeholder for ignorance, the so-called God of the Gaps. The book answers by emphasizing that its case is not built on temporary gaps in knowledge, but on broad features of reality, such as existence, lawfulness, fine-tuning, and information. Another objection is that chance and vast timescales can generate complexity without design. In response, the book likely differentiates between explaining patterns after the fact and explaining why the space of possibilities is structured to yield life at all. It may also address multiverse proposals, noting that while they are discussed in theoretical physics, they often remain difficult to test and can raise new explanatory questions about the generator of universes and the selection of meta-laws. A further objection is that invoking God does not explain anything. The book argues that explanatory power depends on the question being asked. A personal creator hypothesis can serve as a grounding explanation for why there are laws, why the universe is intelligible, and why it permits observers. The chapter-level goal is to leave readers with a sense that theism can be argued for with philosophical rigor while respecting scientific findings. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy big questions at the boundary of science and philosophy, curious non-specialists, students, and thoughtful believers or skeptics who want an organized case for why theism can be intellectually credible in light of modern research. It can benefit a reader's life by encouraging clearer thinking about what science can and cannot conclude, and by offering a framework for integrating empirical knowledge with questions of meaning, purpose, and ultimate explanation. Even for those unconvinced by its conclusions, it provides a structured map of arguments worth engaging, which can sharpen reasoning and improve conversations about faith and evidence. Compared with similar books, its value lies in presenting multiple lines of inquiry in a single narrative: cosmology, fine-tuning, biological information, and the limits of materialist explanation, along with replies to popular objections. Many works focus narrowly on one domain, such as physics or origin of life, or they assume either a religious or atheistic stance without careful philosophical bridging. By collecting several well-known public arguments into a coherent cumulative case, the book offers a convenient entry point for readers who want a broad overview before diving into specialized debates. For buyers seeking a worldview-level synthesis rather than a technical textbook, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Michel-Yves Bolloré, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.